introduce Josie this evening, since you have a relationship with the ministry. So,
yeah. I just want to say, first of all, thank you, everyone, for coming. It's so wonderful that you guys are here just to hear what Josie has to share, but also it means that your hearts are for this ministry, and that really just makes my heart smile so big. As Chris said, I've been involved with Rescue Her for almost a year now. It will actually be a year. January was one of our first outreaches locally in the Arlington, Irving area. And but I had heard about Rescue Her actually a few years prior to that, and I just wasn't able to get involved yet in that season of my life, and I was so devastated. But I was like, okay, so if I can't go and be with these people physically, I will be with them in spirit. And so I started praying for them. I read about the organization, and the more I read about, you know, who they are and what they did and how they got started, I just knew, like, my heart was connected with them, and I didn't even know these people yet. And I got to go on outreach. We got these T-shirts. And the Lord, I don't know if any of you remember this, but beginning of the year, Pastor Jim and the leadership said, ask God for a word, one word. And I did ask God for one word at that beginning of that year. And he gave me the word one. And I was like, is it because I was supposed to have one word, God? I don't understand that. But that word kept on coming up. And then I got this T-shirt for Rescue Her. And it said one on the front. Period. I thought, oh, you're funny, God. I guess I'm supposed to be doing this. And on the back, I actually had Olivia write this down for me because I was in such a hurry this afternoon to get to church. And I did not want to forget this. And it says on the back of the T-shirt, do for one what you wish you could do for all. And I want to tell you, like, that is the heart of Rescue Her. That is Josie and Brad, her husband's heart. They will just do one what they would want to do for all. And that is the first thing that I noticed when I read the description of the website. Because I remember it said something like, Josie said, I didn't know what to do. It's just so big. There's so many. And I want to help every single individual who is affected by human trafficking. And she sat for a while herself and said, what do I do? What do I do? And do for one what you wish could be done for all. So in saying that, I just want to introduce Josie to you, the founder of Rescue Her.
A microphone? You're going to use this one? Okay, awesome.
Am I up here?
You are, yes.
Okay.
You're on stage.
All right. Oh my goodness. I'm so tall and everything. Awesome. Thank you. Well, thank you so much for having me, first of all. I'm really honored. It's so great to be here. Thank you, Neela, and thank you, Pastor Christine. And it's just, even worship has been so wonderful. And you sang my favorite song, the You Make Me Brave. So I'm like, yes, this is going to be good. I am honored to be here. I'm so glad that you came out to hear what I have to share. I know if somebody says, oh, we're going to talk about human trafficking, it's not like, yay, I can't wait to get a church to be encouraged. So I'm glad you came. Thank you. What I'm going to try to do is just share a little bit of my heart, a little bit of my story of how we started Rescue Her, a little bit about human trafficking, and just God's heart and how I think he wants us to respond to something like this going on in our world. And I want to start with just showing you a little video. If you could take a look at this real quick. Human trafficking is the fastest growing criminal industry in the world, and $32 billion is made every year from sex trafficking of women and children. Thank you. Edmund Burke said, "The only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing." Hear statistics like that, and like Neela said, it can be overwhelming because you just think, well, I'm like a drop in the ocean. Even if I do decide to do something, what good will it do? But you know, even in here, we're a whole lot of drops. And that's the thing, is there are a lot more free people than there are those that are captive. And if all of us decided to do something, I believe together, we could make the difference and turn this thing around. What happened to me is my husband and I, and our we have three kids. They're 17, 14, and 12 now. But when our second was just born, he was just a few months old, we moved to Israel. And we were missionaries there for about 5 years. And it was a crazy, fun adventure. And we loved every minute. But while we were there was the first time that I encountered human trafficking. We had this little house church that we would do. And in Israel, a majority of the people that are born again or are Christians are Russians because they've immigrated. They're Russian Jews and they've come. And so we had this Russian lady in our little group. And her name was Olga. Isn't every Russian lady. But she really was called Olga. So here was Olga. And she would ask us to pray for her son who was lost as a goose and off partying in Tel Aviv, and wouldn't we just pray that God would get a hold of his heart? And so we did. And then one day, lo and behold, there in our little home group, Olga had her son with her, and she was so excited, and he had a girlfriend, and they were there, and they gave their heart to Jesus in our little life group meeting. I mean, we were so excited. In Israel, I don't know, for those of you that are familiar, usually it's like years of friendship, evangelism, and prayer, and just, you know, forever before you get that opportunity. So it was like, bam, they got born again. We were so excited. And then we were talking to them afterwards, and this girl, something was just a little different about her. She just, her story, she didn't speak Hebrew. She spoke Russian, so we were translating, and I thought maybe we had it wrong, but she wasn't Jewish, which means how could she be in Israel? Because they're very strict about that. She didn't speak the language. She didn't have a passport. And I'm like, how did you end up here? And she said, well, it's a long story. And she proceeded to tell us that her dad in Russia was an alcoholic, and he didn't have any money left over. He had drunk it all away, and he needed some more, so he sold her for $300 to the Russian mob. And they shipped her to Egypt, where she was forced to serve. And then she was put on a tank and smuggled in across the Sinai Desert, woke up in Israel in Tel Aviv at this club where she was forced to serve, where Olga's son was a bouncer, unbeknownst to Olga. And he fell in love with her kind of on the side. They had this little thing. And so he was allowed to take her home for the weekend to meet his mom and this and that. And God just ordained it, where they got born again in this divine intervention, and we were able to help her. But I remember hearing this story, and I'm sitting there, and I'm thinking, oh my goodness, this was many years ago now, and I'd never heard of human trafficking. I'd never heard, it was before it was like something that was on the news, and oh, sex trafficking, and before the Taken movies, and all that stuff. And I thought, I cannot believe that this has happened to this girl. And I had two daughters at this point, and I just thought, I do not want to hear this. I'm like, I'm really sensitive. I'll have nightmares. This is awful. But I thought, my heart was moved with compassion, but also just this caution of somebody needs to help her, but it should not be me, because I don't know what to do. What do I do with this? How do I help her? How do I not make this worse? Like, what do I even say? Like, I'm sorry this happened to you? That just seemed so not enough. And I grew up a pastor's daughter, with my little church bubble intact all throughout, you know, growing up. And then I went to Bible school, and then I was going to be a missionary. And I loved mercy missions, and I have a heart for orphans and feeding the hungry. But this was like a whole other animal. And I'm like, God, I don't know how to minister to sexual brokenness. And I don't know how to deal with this situation and help. So I kind of just, some other ladies stepped in and they did a fabulous job, and this young woman got the help she needed, and they actually got married and had a baby, and it's a good story in the end. There was redemption. But that sat with me as we moved back to the U.S. and I became normal soccer mom and not crazy missionary mom. I was like, okay, so now in this season of my life, God, what do you want from me? My youngest went into kindergarten, and I had, like, time on my hands. And I went to church thinking I would be encouraged. And, yeah, I was really looking for a word from God that was good and refreshing and exciting. And instead, they turned on this video about human trafficking. And I was like, oh, no, not this again. Lord, you know I'm sensitive. And so, but right then, and I don't remember the rest of the service. You know how it is when God speaks directly to you, and you know that it was for you. That video was for me that day, and I sat there, and he said, look, you've asked me what I want you to do. This is what I want you to do. There's a reason why this video is playing, and it's because you asked me. Here it is. What are you going to do? I thought, oh, my goodness. Seriously? Like, are you kidding me? You have the wrong person. I felt like Moses in the Bible. You know when Moses got called by that burning bush, which I really think if I had a burning bush, I would be like, yes, oh, my goodness, this is so exciting. The God of the universe called me. Like, you can't not be sure that it's for real, right? But Moses said, I just don't think I can, and I don't speak well. Like, four times he argued with the Lord, like, who am I? And I don't speak well, and what will I do, and what if they don't listen to me? That is how I was in that moment. I'm like, God, are you sure you have the right person? But he said, no, I'm really pretty sure. And he rebuked me. He's like, I made you. And he said, look, you've put me in a box. You believe that I can heal the sick and I can, you know, save a person from hell to heaven, and that I can heal the drug addict and set captives free. But somehow you've said that sex trafficking is too much for me. You've just made this box like this God cannot do. Everything else is fine, but not this. And I had to repent and say, God, I'm sorry. I have done that. I really had. So in that moment, I thought, okay, I'm going to do this. I don't know what it's going to look like, but I'm going to do it. And of course, with my little missionary head, I thought this means moving back overseas, which I was excited about. I was a little miffed, to be honest, that we had ended up back in America when I wanted to be on the mission field. So I thought, this is great. It's my excuse to move to some other country and be a missionary again. We'll probably, you know, like raise up a small army and raid brothels, and it's going to be exciting and awesome. And I'm picturing like me in black with guns, and warrior princess images are just, you know. And I thought, okay, I can work with this. But sometimes, do you know how God does, though? He gets you to say yes, and then later on, you're like, oh, it's nothing like I thought it was going to be. But you're in it, and you've already said yes. So with this picture in my head, I come home, and I told my husband, his name is Brad. I said, Brad, I know what God wants us to do. You can quit the church or whatever. We're moving probably to India, and you need to, like, learn karate or, I don't know, some sort of training, because we're going to need it, because it's going to be exciting. And he looked at me like, what in the world has happened to my wife? But we prayed together. We did. And he felt it was the Lord too. But he said, look, I don't feel like we're supposed to move anywhere. God called us here for this season. So you just got to figure out what this is going to look like for you. And we did. And it looked very different than some warrior princess. It was actually, we were very short on money. We were on a tight budget. And I was very frustrated because I couldn't even like send money to somebody that was doing something that I wanted to be doing, like a safe home or rescues or whatever. So I started a coffee label called Zoe Coffee, and we'd raise money, and we partnered with two other organizations, in particular a safe home in Cambodia. And at the end of every month, I would just send whatever money was left over to Cambodia, or whatever money had been raised by the coffee. And that's pretty much all we did for the first few months, was like sell coffee to all my friends and tell all my friends they have to buy my coffee and tell all my friends about human trafficking and you have to buy my coffee. And then I started doing wristbands and t-shirts, and they were out of my house, and it just steadily grew. And then I realized a lot of people didn't know about human trafficking. And so I started sharing about it and speaking in little women's Bible studies and civic groups. And you know, when you take that little step of obedience of just saying, okay, God, I don't understand it. I'm not sure I know what it's going to look like, but if this is what you've called me to do, then that's what I'm going to do. And that's really all I did. And he took this thing, which now we've had an impact all around the world. And I'm just amazed at what God has done in the last 5 years. And from partnering with this safe home in Cambodia, a few months later, I was able to go there. And I just want to show you a few pictures. These are from my first trip to Cambodia. These are the bars that just line the streets. And all over are these, they call them bar girls, but they're just girls that are sitting. They're girls from the villages that have been brought into the city to work. And then men from all around the world come and they walk up and down the street. Like you can see around dusk, they all come out. It's like they sleep all day and then they come out and they walk until they find a girl they want. And then they take her to a hotel and that's their day. And so here was in the lobby of our hotel. I was just using the internet and they kept coming in with these girls, just more and more and more. Let's pause on this one for just a second, if you would. This was a tiny little girl, probably 90 pounds, if that, about yay tall, looked to be about 14, probably. She had pigtails, and there were three East European men that were sitting on the couches around her, and she just was terrified. You could see it in her face, and she didn't want to be there. And our team had just been told, like, you can't do anything. You just have to sit here and watch. You know, we'd be charged with kidnapping, and where were we going to take her? So we sat there, and the grown men on our team were just weeping over their little laptop computers as they were trying to type their emails. Because what do you do with that? What do you do with that? And for me, it was just confirmation that God cares about the one. And if we can rescue her, because it's her entire life. God doesn't see millions. He sees each and every one. And he saw that girl that night, and she had to go up in the elevator. They took her away. And for her and every other girl like her around the world that's trapped and doesn't want to be where she is, you and I need to do something. And for all of us, that something looks different. But we do need to do something because we are the hands and feet of Jesus. We're his body. We're plan A and B. He doesn't have another plan. He left us to do what he would have done were he here. And I think that if he were here, he would have said that slavery is not okay. And it's not okay that these girls are suffering and that we have to stand up for them. Proverbs 31:9 says, speak out for the poor and helpless and see that they get justice. And I believe that is the heart of God. And as the church of Jesus Christ, we're the ones who need to stand up and speak on their behalf. Amen. And so with Rescue Her, that is what we try to do. And it looks different. God has taken us all sorts of different places. And you know, the thing is that trafficking isn't just something that happens over there in some distant land. It happens here in the United States. And you guys are probably aware, and even just in preparing for tonight, I'm sure you've read up a little bit, but it's really real. You hear stories all the time of girls from middle schools and high schools right around here where you guys live that get sucked in and get fooled by recruiters and pimps that come and sneak around the high schools. And they tell them everything that they want to hear, how beautiful they are and how wonderful they are. And if they would just come with me, then I'll give you everything you want and you'll be a superstar. And you're like, if you would just be my girlfriend, I would be so lucky because you're so beautiful. And then they come and they get just, before they know it, they're doing stuff they never, ever, ever wanted to do and they can't get out. The next picture that I have is a picture of a girl's hand. I can't show her face, but this is a girl that was trafficked in Denton. And her captors tattooed her. She had actually gone to get it removed. You can only see a little bit of it there, but it was on her finger. She was taken in Dallas, and then she was brought up here to a house somewhere in Denton, I don't know where, where she was sold. And she happened actually to be a place that I was speaking. I didn't know. I was in Utah, of all places, and there she was in the audience. And she came up. She's like, that happened to me in Dallas. And I thought, oh my gosh. Just today, I was with at a safe house that we partner with. It's not ours, but it's in Dallas. And they had 9 girls that have been rescued, 18 and older. So they're a little bit older. And I was just talking to them, and they are so grateful for what God has done for them, for bringing them out of their situations and for rescuing them. Their dreams, do you know what they want to do? Like, we went around to talk about, what do you want to do? And one of them wants to go to India to work in a rescue home. The other one wants to work with autistic children. And another one wants to work with rescuing street prostitutes. They all have these dreams. What is it that the Word of God says? You know, freely you've received, now freely give. That was truly their heart. That is what I heard from all of them, was like, well, I want to graduate the program, and then I want to go to school so I can do this. And it was to help others. So if we help somebody, it's like a multiplying effect, because they will be raised up and they'll be even more equipped because they've been there and they've seen and they know how to help. And so that's what we do with the street teams that Neela goes with. Is that here in Dallas, we have these teams, the one teams, that go out and we look for girls that have been trafficked. We go to motels mostly, and some truck stops or different places like that, that we've heard that there are girls that are being trafficked. And we go, we bring gifts, and some of what you've brought tonight, that's what it'll be used for. And we talk to them. We talk to the pimps and the Johns and the girls and the drug dealers. It doesn't matter who you are, we'll talk to you. Because they don't know we're from Rescue Her. They think we're just like sweet little church ladies, right? And Neela looks very unassuming when she comes knocking on the door, so it's great. And basically, we hand out little cards with a number they can call if they want help or if they want prayer. And we talk to them, and then we have a connection with the FBI, that we give all the information, what room number, what they looked like, how tall was he, where was there a tattoo, what was the car looked like that was parked in front, all this information, and then they will do whatever's necessary to come rescue if that's needed. It's not really glamorous. It's not what I had pictured, but it's great, because we get to go, and if there's somebody that wants out, we can refer them to the safe home, and we can take them, and God can heal them and restore them. Another thing that we're able to do is prevention, because, you know, especially our high school, middle school age girls, they are so prone to this. The ones from broken homes are just, they walk around just with this sign on their face that predators and recruiters know what to look for. And if a girl is broken and looking for love, they prey on that. So what we do is we come in and we do free makeovers. And all of our little makeup techs have been trained to know what to say and what to ask and how to talk. And so we show the girls basically that they're beautiful. And God created them beautiful, and they have destiny and purpose, but that there are people that want to exploit their beauty. And so we give them tools how to stay safe, what to not post online, what boys not to go with, because a lot of their parents don't tell them any of this stuff. For me, it's stuff I tell my children, and you think they would know. But some of these girls have no clue. They're just so vulnerable. And so we need to be a shield around them, same as your church in your community here. You know, embrace those middle schoolers and high schoolers that look like they're troubled. They are. And they're going to end up in worse trouble if we don't help them. And if we show love, and if we show God's love, this is where they're going to want to come. Because that's really all they're looking for, is love. And they'll go wherever it's shown to them, and they don't know the real thing from the fake thing. And so when these pimps come and they show love and tell them they're beautiful, they'll go. And they'll dance for them and do whatever they want because they felt loved. Because God made us to want to be loved, didn't he? But you know, God's love is bigger. And I take that back. They do know the real thing. Once they see it, they know it. They just don't know any better, so they'll settle for the counterfeit until you come and bring them the real deal. And if they were in this worship service tonight when we were singing, they would feel the presence of God, and they would know real love. Another country that is really, really on one of the top 5 countries of human trafficking is India. And it was something that God laid on our heart. We'd been praying about what to do next. We wanted to open a safe home similar to the one we'd been working with in Cambodia already. And we're praying, you know, God, lead us where? Where is there a need? And he led us to a city called Chennai in India. I don't know if you guys have taken mission trips there or anything like that. Has anybody been to India at all in this room? Okay. So India is basically hot and crowded, full of people. It's an awesome, fun place to be. And this city in particular, it has almost 11 million people. It's hot, 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 hot. It's on the south side. It's really humid and kind of ugly. It's very industrial. But in all of India put together, I think there are about 2.5 million children that are trafficked, which is crazy. Crazy, crazy. So in this city, there is not a single safe home for girls. So even when the police do rescue them, there's nowhere for them to go. So these young girls, they're basically in like a shelter where also runaways go and street thugs and things like that. Anybody under the age of 18, they basically just try to make sure that they're contained and don't cause any trouble. And if they have enough money, they'll feed them. That's really all there is to it. And so God just really pricked our hearts for this particular city. And I want to show you a video of a brothel raid in India, just so you know a little bit what we're dealing with. If you could show that second video, thank you.
The cells where young girls are forced to have sex with strangers just to earn their keep. We could hear voices above us calling for help. They were short of air.
She's
So those are the girls that we want to open a home for. And God has been so good. We have, it was last year that we decided to go ahead and take that leap, which was big for us. We're a pretty small ministry, but we've incorporated in India. We've sent staff over there. We've acquired a home. We've furnished a home. We've written all the aftercare curriculum. We've made sure everything is up to code, and we have Indian staff, therapists and social workers. And right now, this week and next week, you can see some of the pictures. We've taken teams over there to work on the home. We built beds and bought sheets at Target and brought them over in suitcases and People donated teddy bears and soap, and we prepared a place for these girls to come and feel the love and get restored. So we're actually in the process of being inspected right now. We have certificates from the government that we have to be approved before we can open the doors. And we're just, you know, God can do what we cannot. When the human heart has been broken, God can restore. People ask me all the time, they say, girls that have been just so abused, things that done to them that we don't even want to talk about, can they really be normal? Can they even have a regular life? Yes, they can. I want to show you this other video that's a lot happier, and this is from girls that have been just like these girls were, and now they've been at our partner home, She, in Cambodia, and we were there, and we were just doing a Bible lesson with them. And if you can play that last video, take a look at this. There's restoration and there's life and there's hope for these girls. If we would bring it to them, God will do the rest. Honestly, when you're in the home with those girls, you would never know their story if they didn't tell you. It would just seem like an orphanage or a bunch of kids playing because they're so happy and joyful. They have plans for the future. They want to be nurses and doctors and lawyers and flight attendants, and they're just happy and they're full of Jesus and they sing songs. They love to worship. They love to go to church. It's amazing, amazing what God can do when we give him the opportunity, when we choose to be his hands and feet. So I will challenge you with this, and I would love for you individually or as a church or whatever to consider. We're not opening the home yet because we don't have the girls sponsored. It'll house 24 girls. So if anybody wants to help sponsor a girl, we want to be prudent and not open the doors and not be able to feed them or something one of the months. So we want to make sure that we have that committed for at least like 2 years or so in advance, because we've never done this before, and we're super thrilled, and God has provided up till now, but we want to be just really use wisdom. So if anybody's interested in helping us open that home, you can just go to rescuehere.org, go to donate, and you can sign up monthly. There's little sponsor a girl things under our India homepage, and that is our biggest need right now, is to get those girls funded so that we can take them in. The home, that shelter, they're literally, it's like the Child Protective Services. It's called CWC there. And they're literally waiting for us to open the doors. And they're like, how many can you house? We'll give you 100. Like, I cannot take 100. 24. So there are girls that have been rescued. The police, there was a rescue just a few weeks ago where one of our staff had to testify. God is giving favor, and he's opening the eyes of the police and the people that are working to rescue. International Justice Mission is there, and God's just leading and guiding and just bringing out of hiding, out of the darkness into the light, the things that are being done that are not right. So these girls are coming out, and now they need care, and they need help, and they need love. So we have that home that we're super, super excited about opening. Another way that you can get involved is prayer. Okay, this is a spiritual battle as much as it is a natural one. We can do all we want in the flesh and just work till we're, you know, just wore out. But the evil that's being done, it's really demonic. And it's the battle is in, like what the Bible says, in the heavenly places. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. God loves every one of these men that are involved, the madams that are involved, the Johnson, the pimps. God loves them too. And really what we're fighting is the evil of human trafficking, not people. And so prayer is so key. We have something called Pray to Rescue. You can sign up either at our table back there. We have little blue slips of paper, or on our website. It's just a Pray to Rescue under Get Involved. And you'll get a prayer letter every Friday so that you can pray the same things that we do, something for human trafficking. Sometimes it's different countries, sometimes it's different issues, and then for the needs of Rescue Her. Another way to get involved is to join Neela when she goes on our street teams here in Dallas. We could definitely use you. We need men as well as women because we don't go unless we have at least two guys with us that can sit in the van and go with us to the doors where we know that we're going to encounter guys and they help pray for them and stuff like that. So it's men and women. It's not just you have to be a girl. We have the glam girls that I was telling you about. That's the free makeovers. We have a glam girl team, so you can go into your communities. You can do your own here. We've done some in school districts even. They'll let us come in, and they'll let us talk about human trafficking, and they'll let us pray with the girls and everything. So I don't know if anybody's in the school system, or if you just want to do one out of your youth group, just to talk to your kids here in your community, or if you want to sign up for our team. We'll do them in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. I know it's a drive. You guys are, like, way out here. I was like, man, there's nothing here. Are we sure you're GPS? And then, bam, there's a church. So that was exciting. but, yeah, I'm just in Denton. It's not far away. You need to just reach out to your community or sign up. Again, on our website, you can sign up to do that. You can partner with us to sponsor a girl. Follow us on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and then share things about human trafficking to all the people that are in your sphere of influence, because we all have a different sphere of influence. I don't know the same people you do. And all of us together, we have a much bigger reach. So if you could help us with that. And signing up for our newsletter, I really want to urge you to do that, because there's so much that I don't have time to share tonight. So as projects come up, or we need help, or we're maybe having an awareness event that you can attend, or a community outreach that you can help with, that will be in our newsletter. So you can sign up at our table. There are little blue slips of paper that just you write your name and email address, and that's all you've got to do. But I want you to know that this is not something that one person can do on their own. So you need to get together with the people that are here tonight and just decide, you know, maybe five or six of you. I don't know whose hearts God's going to prompt. But just like he called Neela and he called myself, he's going to call you to do something, to stand up. And whatever that's going to look like for you, it's different for all of us. But I do believe that the only way that we're going to truly make a change is if we all use the gifts and talents that God has given us. We've had people that put on fashion shows to raise money for the home. We've had people that did 5Ks and community awareness events with candle vigils. And just really God gave them a voice in their community to speak in front of the mayor and all sorts of different things. You know, God will use whatever you give to him, whatever you have. So say, God, that is my challenge to you tonight, is say, God, here's what I have. What do you want me to do with it? Just like he took the loaves and the fish. And that is what he did with Moses. You know, when he called him and he said, go set my people free, which is what he's calling you to do tonight. He says, my girls are trapped. Now go set them free. And he said, Moses, what's in your hand? And he said, a staff. That was not unusual because he was a shepherd. That was his tool of trade. So that's what he's telling you tonight. What do you have? What is in your hand? Do you have resource to fund what we're doing? Do you have an in with government officials to lobby for laws? Do you have an in the school district so that we can talk to some of these young girls? What is in your hand? Maybe you have a gift or a talent that you can use to talk about human trafficking or to raise money to fight it. It's going to take all of us together. But I love that quote, the only thing necessary for evil to triumph is that good men do nothing. And when I see you guys tonight, and when I've seen in churches all across America when I go, our hearts are all stirred with the same cry, this is not okay, and I'm going to do something to change it. I would so encourage you to go on our website and look at a lot of the different ways that you can recognize human trafficking in your own community. Educate yourself on what happens here in Dallas. It's such a hub because of the highways that go through here and the truck stops and we're close to the Mexican border. Find out, what should I be looking for? When something is not okay, what do I do? What number do I call? There's a human trafficking hotline. Again, the number's on our website. Find out what you can do in the natural and then pray to add God to it. And together we can make a difference. Thank you so much for listening to me tonight. And
we're going to do a couple things. We're going to pray. And you have envelopes at your table. And so we are asking for donations tonight for Rescue Her ministry. And so I would like to take a moment to pray about what you would like to give. But also, if you don't have anything to give, maybe you have yourself to give. And God's speaking to you through what she has said about, you know, what you're supposed to be doing. But let's just take a moment and pray about that. And Donna, if you could come up here, we're also going to pray for the ministry. And so we're going to lay hands on Josie, and we're going to pray for her. And I know some of you probably have words of encouragement for her, and maybe even words of knowledge about the ministry, about this shelter in India being open. And so anybody that feels led can come up here also and pray for her. And so, Jeff, if you'll play, we will pray. And so if anybody would like to come up, please do so, and we'll just all pray together. Yes. Oh, yes, the checks are made out to New Life Church, and you can give them to Rachel. Where's Rachel? She's back there. Just pass them to her, and she will take care of it. We'll put it all together. Okay, you can just leave it on the table, and she'll pick it up. Okay, so let's go ahead and pray.
Lord, we just thank you that there is nothing that's too hard for you. And I thank you, Lord. You weep for every child. You weep for every little boy and little girl that are stolen and are used for a purpose that they were not designed for. I thank you, Lord, that you created them in your image and in your likeness to do great things. And I thank you, Father, for this ministry, because they believe your word. And so even though they've been battered and abused and lied to and stolen, they are still created in your image and in your likeness to do great things. And so, Lord, we ask that you would release a gift into this ministry to do what you've called them to do. And these gifts could be people, finances, witty ideas, brilliant things, ways of making finances, or whatever it is, Lord, we ask you to release it to them. And Lord, I ask that you would move on behalf of these men and these women who have made a choice, enabled by our enemy, to steal these little children. And Lord, I thank you that you said that no weapon that's formed against us can prosper. And so we ask for the end of what looks like this weapon prospering. We declare that it will not win, that you will triumph over all the evil that the enemy has purposefully perpetrated on these ones. And so, Lord, I just thank you for increasing Rescue Her's influence. I ask for your favor, that you would watch over them. Like that mother hen, would you gather them in like the little chicks to protect them from whatever would come their way, Lord, that they won't even see it because you're going to protect them from it. Lord, I thank you that that's what you're doing. And Lord, I ask that you protect all of those who are right now laboring in this ministry, that you would cover them and their families, their children, everything that pertains to them, Lord, that you would watch over it. And so, God, I thank you that you are in the process of bringing alongside of Rescue Her the different people that they need that will be a blessing. And so, Lord, we just ask that tonight, as you're stirring in all of our hearts, show us what is that one thing that we're supposed to do. Show us how to help, what to do. And I thank you, God, for giving us the wisdom and the ability to do it. And Lord, I just release encouragement into this room, that we would be encouraged that we would go ahead and take a step in whatever area you're calling us to move in, that we would just do it. And so, Lord, I thank you for encouraging us. Thank you also, that's my favorite song. Thank you for bravery, that you make us brave. And so, Lord, I thank you that it doesn't matter what it looks like, you can make us brave. And we thank you in advance for the good thing that you're going to do. And Lord, we ask as we give tonight that you would take these finances and you would bless it, that you would multiply it, that you would cause it to go farther than what we've ever dreamt. And so, Father, I ask that you would show us truly that it's more blessed to give than to receive. So for everyone who gives tonight, Lord, in whatever way it is, if it's prayer, if it's cash, if it's time, whatever it is, Lord, that you would show them that principle come to life, that it's more blessed to give than to receive, but to the one receiving, to rescue her, may it multiply and be used to go to do more than what they dreamt. And Lord, we thank you in advance. Jesus, you're awesome. Thank you for taking the stripes on your body to heal the minds of these children and to heal the bodies and the hearts of these children. And we thank you in advance for it. You're awesome. Thank you, King Jesus. You're worthy. Amen.
Dear God, I want to pray for Josie. And I just pray that you give her power. And I just, as I'm praying here, she is such a force. And I just pray that you put your almighty hand behind her. And Lord, that we all stand behind her. And that we can make a difference. And I know she wants to make a difference in one person's life. And by doing that, I know that she'll impact many people. Lord, because you multiply. And I know that you have all of the power in the whole universe. And Lord, I know that you freely give. And Lord, I just pray that you freely give that power to Josie. And I pray that you encourage her. I pray that we can be an encouragement to her. And Lord, I just pray that we are able to act out. Lord, speak in our ears what you want us to do for this ministry. Speak in our ears. And Lord, I just pray that you help us to obey those little whisperings that we hear you calling us to do. And God, I know that this ministry could be so powerful and it's so needed. There's nothing else like this ministry. It's very needed. And I just pray for your power and your hope for these children and encouragement for Josie.
And I want to just release courage for all the women in this room to do whatever it is God's telling them to do. And so we just release that now in Jesus' name. And I feel like as you give whatever it is, if it's 10 cents or, 10,000 cents or whatever, I think some of us are a little bit afraid because we're not sure what he's asking us to do. God, just tell me what to do and I'll do it, But you're not telling me. I don't hear you. You're not telling me. Or maybe you're telling me. I can't, you're just so confused about what God wants you to do. And God says, just do what's in front of you and I'm going to tell you what to do next. And so I'm just going to say, give tonight and he's going to show you what to do next. Give tonight and he's going to show you what to do next. So we just release that and we release bravery and courage in Jesus' name. Lord, we just thank you and we will not fear. We will not fear whatever it is that you're calling us to do, Lord. We will not make excuses any longer. We will not say, I don't have this, I don't have that. I can't do this, I can't have that. I have these kids, I have this, I have work, I have this, I have this. There are no excuses when you call us to do what you want us to do. And so we just lay those down and we say, whatever it is, Lord, with open hands, we will do it in Jesus' name. So thank you so much for sharing your heart with us and sharing this ministry with us. And well, it's amazing. And she's right. It's in our back door. And so we can't bury our heads in the sand. So thank you for making us aware. And how many of us work in the schools around the area? How many of you have children in the schools around area? How many of you have walked into a school in the last week? Exactly. when you're walking through those halls, be praying for those kids. Just, you know, the Lord, you'll look at a kid and you'll be like, oh, my heart goes out to that child. You've done that. I know you've done that. Pray for that child. We just need to be aware. So, okay, well, y'all, thank you so much for coming. And if you would like to...